Well, amen. You may be seated. We open our Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 13. In reading from our text, "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he thinks he has. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, For verily I say unto thee, that many prophets and wise men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them." Let's bow our heads in prayer. The gracious Father, we thank you for your word today. We acknowledge, Father, that you have come down in this hour, that many, and in fact most, have not heard thee, Father. They've heard thee with their ears, but they have not heard thee with their heart, nor have they understood thee, Father. So, Lord, we are thankful that you have opened our eyes that we might see, and you've taken the blindness from our eyes, Father, that you've taken the wax from our ears, Father, that we could hear. And Lord, we just commit our hearing unto thee. Bring forth that which is meant to bring forth, we ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Now this morning I'd like to review some things that Brother Branham had said in last week's sermon, The Spoken Word is the Original Seed. And in paragraph 103, Brother Branham said, predestinated. He said, all sons and daughters of God are predestinated. And then he said, he being God, the infinite one, he foreknew everything that would be. He knew who they were. And then to clarify what he meant in this paragraph, in the next paragraph he says, now Eve, he didn't make Eve to do that. He didn't make her to do it, but he knew that she would. In other words, he was saying, look, although God predestinated us to be conformed to the image and predestinated us, like, you know, a seed has everything in it to become manifest as what it is, he didn't make her do those things that she did that caused the fall. That was her own free will, you see. And, you know, everybody, these people that really want to hold on to their own free will as if that's the main thing, they don't realize that's your danger. You know, your danger is holding to your own thinking instead of his thinking. So what he's saying here is that although God knows your end from your beginning, he doesn't force you through a tube and then say, blessed is he that overcomes. But right after Brother Branham explains what he did here, that God did not make Eve to do what she did, yet he knew that she would do it, he says. Then he quotes from, in paragraph 104, he says, they got eyes, but they don't see. They got ears, but they don't hear. Isaiah well spoke of you. And so we took our text then from Matthew 13, showing where Jesus is quoting the same thing. He says that you are given to know, but they are not given to know. And therefore, they see, but they don't see. They don't perceive. They don't understand. And therefore, he doesn't have to do anything with them. Doesn't have to heal them. So you see, these are not people who are physically blind. They're not physically deaf. These are people who are spiritually blind and spiritually deaf because they're looking right at what you're looking at, but they're not seeing it. They're hearing the same tapes that you're hearing, but they don't understand what they're hearing. But Jesus summarized it all by saying, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing they shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should have to heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Now, the eyes are the prophets. And he says, they have closed themselves to their eyes. They've closed themselves to the prophets. They won't receive a vindicated prophet. So these people have closed their eyes and stopped their ears so they cannot hear. And they do it themselves. They do it to themselves. That's where free moral agency has gotten them. Blind and deaf to the world, or to the word of God. And thus ignorant of God's will, which is his word. And in every age, after every revival, once the people move away from the light of God sent to them, and move backwards into programs. The life leaves him then, and God moves on with his light. Paul tells us in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verse 17, that when they lose their understanding that they have of the word, the life of God leaves them. Let's turn to it. Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll look at verse 14. Having the understanding darkened, they become alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So you have to read this almost backwards. Because of the blindness of their heart, they are nothing but, he says, it's ignorance within them. Their understanding is ignorant. Okay? And being ignorant, they move away or they alienate themselves from the Word of God. So because their hearts are blind, they're willingly ignorant. As they move away from the understanding that they did have, they actually are shutting off the life of God from themselves. In essence, they're walking away from the fountain of life. There is never any reason to quit preaching the doctrine to revert to, because they revert to works. They don't believe the doctrine. They don't think it's necessary. They've got their actions. They say, well, you know, if I can just do this and do this and do this, it's going to be pleasing to God. And yet turn the very God away who came for them. You see? That's what they did to Jesus. Jesus said, he spoke of me and you reject me. You see? In fact, that's what Brother Branham refers to. He says Jesus says you reject the ministry, you reject the works. He said, you know, what good work did I do? What vindicated thing that action that took place in my ministry are you rejecting? They say, well, no, it's not the actions, it's not the vindication. It's what you say. Like Brother Branham said, they think I'm an ignorant hillbilly. Well, he didn't say those exact words, but that's exactly what he's implying. He said, they say, well, Brother Branham, you know, when he's under the anointing, he's 100% right on. But don't stand for his doctrine. His doctrine's off. He said, now, doesn't the vindication prove that my doctrine's right? You think God would stand behind me and vindicate the works if my doctrine was off the word? You see, when people want to compare themselves to Brother Branham one-to-one, I'm going to tell you what, they're not vindicated, so how can they? A prophet doesn't speak his own words. He speaks, thus saith the Lord. It's God's words. Amen. So because their hearts are blind, they willfully are ignorant. And in this willful ignorance, they move away from the understanding of the word. They shut off their understanding of the word. They shut off the life that comes from that understanding. It doesn't matter what you do to clean up your life. If you're not born again, it is not even acceptable to God anyway. There's Mohammedans that live a better life than 99.9999% of Christians. And yet, they're going to hell. There's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. All that kind of righteousness is nothing but filthy rags, he says. That is what he said. Therefore, these people who have willfully turned down the light are what Jesus spoke of in Revelation 3, verse 14 to 20. If you turn with me this morning, Revelation 3:14, and unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man may hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I have overcome, and have sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So these are make-believers then. Because they are make-believing that they see when they don't see. They're make-believing that they're rich in the things of God when they're miserable and poor and blind and naked. If their pride will not admit, it will not allow them to admit that they're wrong. That is why I love to preach in Africa, because at least those people are honest and humble before God and will admit that they didn't have it right and are willing to just shut up and listen and not refute the truth like the Americans, Canadians, and the Europeans do. Now, the attribute of the make-believer is this. Number one, they worship God according to their own mind. You see, they worship God, but not according to thus saith the Lord, according to their own mind. In Psalm 10 and verse 4 says, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God, for God is not in all of his thoughts. Their thoughts are filled with everything like the world's are filled with everything. But God is not the preeminent thread that runs through every thought that they have. And Isaiah 55 and 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways, saith the Lord. So God's telling us, look, you can't think it the way you would think it. You have to sit back and just think. You have to take what I said. Like Brother Brown said, take the word and preach it exactly as it is. You see? Too many people read into it. In Isaiah 65 and 2, I have spread out my hands all the day unto the rebellious people which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. If there's one key to this message, it's getting rid of your own thinking. I remember when Brother Vail preached this series on the rapture and on the paradox, and he said, he made a remarkable statement. He said, I heard Brother Branham sitting in that service where Brother Branham said, the shout is the message. And I thought, Brother Branham, in my mind, I thought, Brother Branham, I've heard you say so many strange things before, but then something else popped into his head and said, but when has he ever been wrong? And Brother Vail said, I heard myself saying, the shout is a message. In other words, when a vindicated prophet says it, step aside from your own thinking. Step into what he's saying. In Jeremiah 6, verse 13 to 19, for from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of the people slightly, saying, peace, peace, where there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay. They were not all at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall at the time that I will visit them, and they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. You know, he's invited us to walk in the light as he is in that light. That pillar of fire. He's here, leading us to the millennium. He's invited us to walk in the way, and he said, but they will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. Here God brings a message, and when they turn down the message, there's nothing left but rejection. Now notice the condition of the people, even after, when they are told a way to escape, they refuse to listen. They think their way is better than God's way, too much pride. And we know that pride goeth before a fall. In John 9, verse 39 to 41, Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and they said unto him, are we blind also? Jesus saith unto them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say that we see. Therefore your sin remaineth. They became blind because they think that they saw when they weren't seeing at all. This is exactly Revelation 3. It tells us that they are blind and don't know it. And we already read Ephesians 4, 17 to 18, that they are blind because of their own thoughts are contrary to God's thoughts. In 2 Peter 3, and verse 5 we read, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water, in the water, and whereby the world was then, was being overflowed with water, they perished. In other words, Peter's telling us that these people were willfully ignorant. Therefore, to turn down what God has brought down with a shout is a willful act of disrespect to God. And God says they're willfully ignorant. Even as the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:38, he said, what? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man will think of himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, well, just let him be ignorant. Number two, in their own stupid zeal and in their own strange piety, they are worse than the ungodly. Now let me say that again. Let's take the word stupid out. In their own zeal and in their own, we'll take the strange word out, in their own piety, their own zeal and their own piety, they're actually worse than the unbeliever. They're worse than the ungodly. In 2 Timothy 3 and 5 says, having a form of godliness. Now, the word godliness means godlikeness. Having a form of godlikeness, but denying the word thereof. From such turn away. These are the make-believers. They act like it. They walk like it, talk like it. But they turn down the word. They're worse than the ungodly. Because at least the ungodly aren't hypocrites. Paul spoke of them in Romans 10, verse 2 to 3. He said, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's right wiseness, and going about to establish their own right wiseness, have not submitted themselves to the right wiseness of God." In other words, no matter how much scripture you give them, they turn it down. Because they got their own thoughts about it. Number three, for God's sake, they become enemies of God. John 16:22, where Jesus said, "The time cometh when you shall kill, thinking that you're doing God a service." For God's sake, they become enemies of God. Isn't that a paradox? Thinking they're doing God a service, they're actually doing God a disservice. Number four, for the fear of God, they become scorners of God. For the fear of God, thinking they're fearing God, they actually scorn God. And the word scorn means to show contempt and despise. And how do they do it? Well, Malachi 1, verse 6 to 10 says, "A son honoreth his father, and a servant his mother. If I then be your father, where is mine honor? And if I be your master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts unto you? O priests that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thee?" And the word despise means contempt. "Wherein have we shown contempt for thee? You have offered polluted bread upon mine altar. And ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible." You see, here is how they show contempt for the Lord. The spiritual food they're eating is not fresh. It's old. It's full of wiggle worms. As Brother Brown said, food for another season. "And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? And now I pray you, beseech God, that he will be gracious unto you. This hath been by your means. Will he regard persons, saith the Lord of hosts? Who is there among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do you kindle a fire upon mine altar. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hands." And the NIV puts it this way: "Who is there among you that will shut the door so that useless fires may not be kindled upon mine altar?" You see, the pulpit is God's altar. You don't just take anything there. You don't just offer anything there, especially not old wiggle worm food. How'd you like to be invited to dinner at someone's house and they serve you, last month's meatloaf full of maggots and everything else? I think you'd be quite offended. And yet that's what preachers do every week, week after week after week. They come and they serve just old rotten manna, not fit for the day in which you're living. In Psalm 123, verse 3 to 4, "Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt." Now isn't that a dichotomy? David is crying out to God. He's saying, "Have mercy upon us, O God." Because he includes himself in that, are filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease and with the contempt of the proudful. At least David was aware of his actions and how that they showed contempt. And he was a man enough to ask God to forgive him and to help him in that area. But today the people are so blind to their own condition that they do not know how miserable they are. The Bible says they're blind, naked, and miserable, and don't even know it. I know people are miserable and don't know it. We all know people that are miserable and don't know it. A person full of joy doesn't speak on negative things. And even if they do, even if they don't like something that someone does or says, or they don't comment on it. They're full of joy. When you're full of joy, you don't want to think about the negative. The Bible says don't even talk about those things which are done in darkness. And yet some of us, that's all we think about. What's wrong? We're contemptible. We don't know that our thoughts are heard louder in heaven than our words. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Don't be thinking on the negative things. Fill your mind with the joy of the Lord. Joy cometh from the Lord. In the fullness of the Lord is full, in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. Proverbs 18 verse 3, when the wicked cometh, then cometh also contempt and ignominy, reproach. Ignominy means stupidity. So this speaks of their contempt is a stupid reproach. Not against the one that they're in contempt with, but their approach, their reproach, shows their own stupidity. In John 10, verse 25 to 27, Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe me not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you believe me not, because you are not of my sheep. And as I said unto you, my sheep will hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You see, they just couldn't get it. Though he explained who he was by vindication, they wouldn't receive it, because they didn't like his doctrine. In Isaiah 29, verse 93, he says, stay yourselves in wonder, cry out, and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord hath poured upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes to the prophets, and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered. And the vision of all is become as to you of words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee, and he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee, and he saith, I am not learned. Wherefore the Lord saith, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. In other words, they just come to church, they kind of slumber, they kind of go through the motions, they kind of, well, you know, I believe God sent a prophet, blah, blah, blah. And they're not come prayed up, they're not come pulling, they're not come trying to hear from God. It becomes routine. Their thoughts are blind. But their own thoughts blind them to the truth, as we see in Isaiah 28, verse 8 to 13. He says, for all tables, all pulpits are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? And in the NIV it says, whom shall he make to understand the message? Them that are weaned from the milk, drawn from the breast? I don't think so. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here little, there little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, but they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here little, there little, that they may go and fall backward and be broken, snared, and taken. And so the word of the Lord becomes unto them do and do, rule upon rule, rule upon rule, that they might go backward, stumble, and be broken. They're so caught up in the technicality of the word, there's no mercy, there's no grace, and there's no relationship. Do we do things for one another to merit favor, or we do things because we love? Does a parent sacrifice from themselves to help their children because they love the child, or do they do it just because, well, you know, it's my duty? I think parents make sacrifice because of their love. I think God makes he sacrifices his only begotten son, because the Bible says no greater love is there than a man lay down his life for his brethren. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And as Brother Branham said, I can do anything I want to do, but I don't want to do anything that would hurt him, because I love him. Number five, because of piety, they become impious. Yeah. Because of piety, the word piety means devotion, worship, and godliness. And how do they become impious? By worshiping falsely. In Acts 13, verses 48 to 50, I want you to notice a contrast between the two kinds of believers. The ordained to life and those ordained to blindness. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. When you hear the word, what's your first response? It's joy. You love it. When they heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life did one thing. They believed. But look at verse 49. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout, that means the pious, and the honorable women, and the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. What's pious? You know, the, oh Lord, bless you, my brother. I'm so pious and so holy that I can just talk so lovely, and yet they can turn down the very doctrine that the prophet of God brought. Mark 7, verse 7 to 16. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandments of God, ye hold your traditions as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such things do you do. And he saith unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own traditions. And by their traditions they make the word of God of none effect. Can you imagine putting the tradition, your traditions, before the word of the Lord? I just can't understand. That's just total religion. Total religious. Antichrist religion. Proverbs 5:14. Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and winds without water. Jeremiah 23:32. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lateness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them, wherefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. So those that God doesn't send forth, but go forth anyway, will not profit the people. And notice that word lightness is extravagance. He said, behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell the people and cause the people to err by their lies and by their lightness, by their extravagance. Number 6, attributes of the make-believer for the sake of peace, they disturb the peace. It's like years ago we had a problem up in Minneapolis in a church up there. They had sisters would get on the phone every day and they had their little prayer time together. And so they'd have a round robin of, you know, praying for each other. And of course it was nothing but gossip. Oh, sister, would you please pray for my husband? He was out drinking last night. You know, he was looking at girly magazines. He was doing this or doing that, you know. Just putting down, putting down, putting down, putting down, putting down. You know, the laws of our land are much higher than even the actions of many Christians. The laws of our land says that a woman doesn't even have to testify in court against her husband. Why would a woman get on the phone then and gossip against her husband in the guise of prayer? Let's pray for him. Huh? For the sake of peace, they disturb the peace. In Romans 3, verse 11, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursings and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known, and there is no fear of God before their eyes. So the way or the manner of thinking or the course of conduct, the way of peace, they have not known. Their conduct they have not known. You see? Their course of conduct they have not known. The course of conduct toward peace they have not known. The manner of thinking, the course of conduct toward peace they have not known. Again, we see it all comes down to our minds. In Acts 16, verse 19 to 23, and when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into a marketplace under the rulers and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exercise trouble, exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs that are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up against them, And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Money, money, money. The love of money is the root of all evil. And yet, for the love of money, these people turned down the word. And number seven, in the interest of humility, they become proud. Such is the fictitious piety of their stubborn mind and the hypocritical understanding of confirmed obstinacy. So great is man's arrogance and his absolutely vain delusion that he believes he is worshiping God when he is worshiping the devil. In the interest of humility, they become proud. 1 Timothy 6, verse 3 to 5. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, unto the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, and evil surmisings. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Again, we see that those who are proud will not acknowledge the truth, but they'll try to turn it into some type of gain for themselves. In Romans 11, verse 7 to 10, what then? Israel hath not obtained that which it seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it. And the rest were blinded, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear. Unto this day, and David saith, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back always. And what is their table again? What is the table? Anybody? What's the table? It's a pulpit. And notice it says, David say, let their table, let their pulpits be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. The snare is Scripture itself. Inasmuch as it is understood and handed down or taught in a deceitful manner, so that under the show of pious instruction, the souls of the deceived and simple are craftily ensnared. From one and the same table, or from one and the same holy scriptures, one draws for himself death, while the other the life, the honey, and the other the poison. Hence, nothing else should be treated with such reverence, and so altogether with arrogance as the Word of God. It's either given great respect or it's given a put down. It at once ensnares the proud and traps and offends them, though in a way that they do not perceive. Indeed, in a fascinating and beautiful disguise, and this is not the word's fault, but that of human pride, which arrogantly raises its head against it, as we saw last week, honestly. You preach 50, 60, maybe 70 scriptures showing predestination, showing ordination, showing how God foreordinates, and then people can say, right after that, it's unscriptural. They don't believe it. Or they don't say it's unscriptural, they just say, well, I don't believe that. Well, that's fine, but you don't believe the Word of God. It just boils down to the Word of God. Either you're saying the Word of God or you're not saying the Word of God. As I began the service last week, I said, look, I don't care what you think. I don't care what I think. It's what God thinks that counts. Amen. You see? So we can have our ways, but our ways are death. Indeed, in a fascinating, beautiful disguise, and this is not the Word's fault, but that of human pride, which arrogancy raises its head against it. The stumbling block consists of this, that they who are ensnared by false teaching constantly take offense. For if they are ensnared, it is as though that which they understand wrongly, to that they cleave to, and that they are well pleased with. So without realizing it, they permit themselves to be ensnared willingly, but they take offense of what is pointed out to them, as though that it's truth itself. In fact, as Irenaeus said, it's more truth than truth itself. If they cannot avoid it, the truth, they distort it and deny that Scripture must be so understood. I could say some things here, but I won't. At last their eyes are darkened, 11:10, so that while others see, they themselves do not permit themselves to be enlightened, and while others are raised up, they remain perverted in their mind. And so if they cannot, with knowledge, refute the Scripture, then they attack their character. You know, people got to the point where they couldn't refute Brother Branham and his doctrine, so they criticized his person. Well, you know, he's dumb. Eighth grade education, just a hillbilly, just this, just that. Well, I guess then you could say Jesus was dumb. He didn't have any education. I guess John the Baptist came out of the hills smelling like camel skin and locust breath. Well, he wasn't, polished either, so, you know, we don't need him. Which one of the prophets then are you going to take? Well, I take Moses, they say, because Moses was a scholar. You know what? Moses had to forget everything he knew. Paul had to forget everything he knew and start over. In John 8:38, Jesus said, I speak that which I've seen with my Father. You do that which you've seen with your Father. You're going to do what you've been trained to do. Now, I'm getting back to what Brother Branham was speaking of last week in Spoken Word's Original Seed. He said, and there they are sitting there with their eyes, ears, and everything else, but they can't see. Why? They are a repellent to the Word of God. Then Jesus said, oh, you hypocrites, you are children of the devil and his works you do. Then condemn me, he said, refuse my ministry. When show me where your ministry is producing the full Word of God, as his was. See? In other words, Brother Branham said, look, God was vindicating him, standing right by him, doing the things that no man could do. And they said, well, we still don't receive it because it's different from our theology. So Jesus is arguing with them in John 8:38. He says, I speak that which I've seen with my Father, but you do that which you've seen with your Father. And they answered and said unto him, well, Abraham's our father. And Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, if we be not born of fornication, we're not serpent seed. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto him, if God were your Father, you'd love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. I want you to see what Jesus is saying to these make-believers. He said, the reason you haven't got a clue to what I'm saying is because it is impossible for you to understand what I'm saying. Because you're not ordained to know and to understand what I'm saying. Now that is exactly what the Greek word ou tells us here. He said, you cannot hear any of my word. You cannot, and they're translated from the Greek word ou, which means it's a double negative, strengthening the denial. It means not at all, anymore, at all, by any, no means, neither, never, no at all, in no case, in no wise, nor ever, not at all, in any wise. It's impossible for them to understand. So you can give them 70 scriptures. It's impossible for them to understand. They're not ordained to it. How thankful we ought to be for revelation then. Not for the revelation's sake, but for the implied meaning behind it, because it is God that reveals. And if he chose to not reveal to you, that means he has no interest in you. He has no relationship to you, with you. So don't be thankful for revelation's sake, but for the fact that you are his. And the fact that you are his, thus he reveals. You understand the difference there. Notice that Jesus said to the Pharisees, right after telling them that they could never understand, he tells them why. He says in verse 44, you're of your father the devil. That's why you cannot understand. And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. Now, the same word that Jesus said there is no truth in him is the same word, ooh. And it means a double negative, strengthening the denial, not at all, anymore, at all, by any means, no means, neither, never, not at all, in any case, in any wise, nor ever, not at all, in any wise. So you see, they cannot understand because of who they are. They are sons of perdition, sons of the devil, and thus incapable of understanding the revealed word of God. And Jesus says, when he speaketh a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words, ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. It's very clear that Jesus is telling us that if you're of God, he will reveal himself to you. If you're not of God, forget it. It's impossible. After two admonitions, the Bible says, just reject as a heretic. Doesn't mean to, you know, get angry with them or show, you know, some type of contempt. What it means is just let them alone. Don't try to, you know, to win them over again. If you've given them two opportunities to receive the word, they turned it down, just forget them. Move on to someone else. Move on to, you know, if you plant two seasons in a row and you get nothing out of the garden there, go somewhere else and plant somewhere else. You see? Now listen to the translation called The Message. John 8:42-47. If God were your Father, said Jesus, you would love me, for I came from God and I arrived here. I didn't come on my own. He sent me. Why can't you understand one word that I say? Here's why. You can't handle it. You're from your father, the devil, and all you want to do is please him. He was a killer from the very start. He couldn't stand the truth because there wasn't a shred of truth in him. When the liar speaks, he makes it up out of his own lying nature and fills the world with lies. I arrive on the scene, tell you the plain truth, and you refuse to have a thing to do with me. Can any one of you convict me of a single misleading word, a single sinful act? But if I'm telling you the truth, why don't you believe me? Anyone on God's side listens to God's words. This is why you're not listening, because you're not on God's side. Well, I go a little bit deeper than that and say, anyone that is of God, not just on God's side, but anyone that's born of God, believes God. But Brother Ram speaks of the condition that we see in these people, in the Laodicean church age. In the church age book, he says, paragraph 78 says, you are blind and naked. Now, this is really desperate. How can anyone be blind and naked and not know it? Yet it says that they're blind and naked and can't perceive it. The answer is they are spiritually blind and spiritually naked. Do you remember when Elisha and Gehazi were surrounded by the army of the Syrians? You recall that Elisha smote them blind by the power of God, yet their eyes were wide open and they could see where they were going? The blindness was peculiar in that they could see certain things, but other things, such as Elisha and the servant and the camp of Israel, they could not see. What this army could see did not avail for them. What they did not see brought on their captivity. Now, what does this mean to us? It means exactly what it meant back there in the earthly ministry of Jesus. He tried to teach them truth, but they wouldn't listen. John 9:40-41. And some of the Pharisees that were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. The attitude of this age is exactly what it was then. People have it all. They know it all. They cannot be taught. If a point of truth from the word comes up and a man tries to explain his view to one with an opposing view, the listener is not at all listening that he might learn, but he is listening only to refute what is being said. I want to ask a fair question. Can Scripture fight Scripture? Does the Bible contradict the Bible? Can there be two doctrines of truth in the Word that say the opposite or oppose the other? No, it cannot be so. Yet how many of God's people have their eyes open to the truth? Not even 1%, as far as I know. I have learned that all Scripture is given by God and all is profitable for doctrine, reproof and correction, etc. If all Scripture is thusly given, then every verse will dovetail if given a chance. But how many people, how many believe in predestination unto election and reprobation unto destruction? Those who don't, will they listen? No, they will not. Yet both are in the Word and nothing will change it. But to learn about it and reconcile the truth of those doctrines with the truths that seem to oppose, they will not take the time. But they stop their ears, gnash their teeth, and they lose out. And at the end of this age, a prophet will come, but they will be blind to all that he's doing and saying. They are so sure that they're right, and in their blindness, they will lose it all. Isn't that exactly the truth? They don't listen to learn. They listen to find a small place they can insert their counterpoint. As he said, they listen in order to argue. They're so set in their ways. And that's the spirit of the age. That is why they can come here and hear the same thing that you hear, and you sit and listen attentively, and you eat that spiritual food in due season, and they sit in their seat fighting sleep, and then become, because they can't see it, they think that you're in bondage. Isn't that right? Because you're not playing around in your seat and doing your own thing, because you're listening, they think you people are in bondage. Well, I hope we are love slaves. Amen. To the Lord Jesus, I hope that our coming to hear the Word of God, and like Brother Branham said, we're coming for inventory to check up, to see how much we are in love with Him. Yeah, we're in bondage, a love slave. But not in bondage as they think in bondage. No, Jesus said that the Word shall set you free. And if you're free, He said, you're free indeed. You're free from organizational pulls. You're free from politics that go along with an unregenerate church member. You are free from all that. And because you show interest, you're in bondage. Oh, that we might all be in bondage as love slaves to the Lord. As Paul said, I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And as Jesus said, the things that I say unto you, He said, the Father commanded me what to say. And the Son can do nothing but what the Father shows Him to do. Isaiah 42 and verse 1 put it best. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isle shall wait for his law. Now let's skip to verse 19. Who is blind as my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is as blind as he that is perfect, and as blind as the Lord's servant? Seeing many things, but thou observest not. Opening the ears, but he heareth not. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. Now Jesus was that perfect servant who was blind to everything except what God had for him to see. He could walk past 300 people that were sick to pray for the one that God had shown him. You don't think as a human being he had compassion for 299 people? Those 299 people he walked by to find the one person? He could see, but he was blind to it. Because he had one thing in mind, and that's the vision God gave him. Jesus was that perfect servant who was blind to everything except what God had given him. In John 5:19 and 5:30, the Son can of himself do nothing, but what he sees the Father do, that the Son doeth likewise. In John 12:47, and if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. In other words, my Father instructed me on what I should say and what I should speak, so that's what I have done. And I know that his commandments are life everlasting. Whatsoever therefore I speak, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Who is blind as my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is as blind as he that is perfect, and as blind as the Lord's servant? Seeing many things, but thou observest not. Like Job, who said, I have made a pact with mine eyes that I might not allow them to sin against me. That's what every young man of God and every young woman of God should do. Every child of God should do. Make a pact with your eyes. Make a pact with your ears. Make a pact with your ears that you won't listen to the things of the world. Make a pact with your eyes that you won't watch those things of the world. That you won't allow your five outer senses to allow sin and lust to come into your hearts. Opening his ears, but he heareth not. And when you go into those restaurants and they're playing that ungodly music, are you so tuned into the things of God that you don't even hear them? And to listen to what God tells us about this servant. He said, the Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. But this is the people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes. They are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey and none delivereth. For a spoil and none raiseth. And none saith, restore us. And none among you says restore. What does that mean? Restore what? Jesus said, Father, restore unto me the glory that I had with thee before the foundations of the world. Restore unto me the jokes and the opinion, the values, the judgment that I had with thee before the world was even framed. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Well, the answer is found in Acts 13:48. All that were ordained to life will believe. Now, from contending from the faith, Brother Branham said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't understand it. It's a mystic, mythical thing until you're born again. The Word of God is just a mythical thing. It's something they take a piece here, take a piece there, whatever fits their fancy. From questions and answers, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, you couldn't see the kingdom of God because the kingdom of God is the Holy Spirit. Some standing here will not taste of death till they see the kingdom coming in power. He said, then the kingdom of God, the Bible said, is within you. It's within you, the Holy Spirit, and you can't see that with your eyes. So see means to understand. Have you ever looked at anything, looking right at it, and you say, well, I just don't see it? In other words, you're saying, I just don't understand it. You see it with your eyes, but you just don't understand it. So you say, I don't see it. And from a sermon called Calling of Abraham, Brother Branham said, Jesus said to Nicodemus, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. See what the right translation of that is? He cannot understand the kingdom of God. And from it shall be even as it is told. He said, we don't look at what we see, we look at what we see not. Is that right? Anyway, see does not mean to doesn't mean to look at. The word see means to understand. Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, he can't understand the kingdom of God until he's born again. You have to accept it by faith. And then when he comes into you, then you'll understand it. And so on. Now, in paragraph 106 of Spoken Word, Brother Branham said, now, in this God foresaw and predestinated a world of sons and daughters. He predestinated them to be there. So either God has predestinated you to be there. If you're going to be there, you're going to have to see. You'll have to understand. But there's also a world of people that are predestinated unto condemnation, unto rejection. 107. Christ couldn't help being what he was. He was the Son of God. That's it. See what I mean? You see, if you were intended, then you see the Word of God. You believe it. Because why? There's something new. See, why? Have you ever heard of a strain in a family? A son will kind of impersonate his father, the mother, grandfather, grandmother. That's strains in the family. You've heard it, haven't you? Well, that's the same thing from predestination. You were supposed to be here in the right way at the beginning, but being that you come the way that you did, you're subject to the fall. But being that you're predestinated to hear the word, and it brings you right back where you were predestinated. Amen. Never saw that before. It brings you right. And what makes you believe the Word of God and turn down those other things is because there's something in you way back yonder, supposed to be you were made to live here forever. All right, scripture for that preacher, here it is. All that he foreknew, he called. All that he called, he justified. All that he justified, he has glorified. What's the use of preaching then, Brother Branham? There's a crop out there. Only thing I'm doing is seeding. I'm just throwing it out there and see where it goes. If the repellents, the grease of the muck of the world, denomination throws it off, I can't help that. But if there's one out there that can absorb it, he will be turned into a son or daughter of God just as sure as the world, because it's predestination. That's the reason that God could work his works through Jesus. He was a predestinated son. He was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Before 100 billion, trillion, million years ago, that we said Genesis 1 and 1, he was right then predestinated to take his place. And as Brother Branham said, if he was predestinated to die for your sins, we were then predestinated to have him die for our sins. God predestinated us before the foundation of the world. We are getting into more and more where Brother Branham is talking about our election, our predestination. Now, I've given each of you a copy of the Spoken Word's original seed. If you take it home and begin to read it and study it, you're going to find that as Brother Brown gets more and more and more into this, the whole focus of this is that there is an original seed. It's the Spoken Word. It's Jesus Christ. And we are ordained to be conformed to that image. Others are not ordained to it. They're actually ordained to condemnation. And how do they... If the evidence that you're filled with God life, if the evidence that you are filled with the Holy Spirit is that you receive the word for the hour in which you live, then the evidence that they're not ordained to it is that they won't receive it. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We know, Father, that some of these things are maybe said in a way which are not so pleasant, but Father, we ask that you'd help us, Lord, to just take them as your word, and to realize, Lord, that not everything is pleasant. But in the fullness of, in the presence of you, Father, is fullness of joy. And then, but yet, we know that those who turn down you, Father, are left to nothing but a tribulation of, like the Bible says, the destruction and all the misery and everything else is coming with it. So, Father, help us, Lord, to be so walking in your Spirit that when you get ready to leave this earth, we'll be so in tune with thee that we'll leave with you. For we ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever.